The reading that I'm going to read in a moment is from Matthew chapter 27, beginning at verse 27. And we're looking particularly about the soldiers and the centurion, characters from the cross. So I'm now going to read from the NIV, Matthew 27, beginning at verse 27. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand. Then they knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink, mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots, and sitting down they kept watch over him. Above his head they placed a written charge against him: "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Verse 45. From noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over all the land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a staff and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rock split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tomb after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Here ends the reading. So, a question: who is Jesus? Well, Jesus often asked his disciples and others, "Who do you say I am?" In this section, we will look closely at the actions of the soldiers and the centurion in charge of them, especially who they thought Jesus was at the beginning and then as Jesus died. The soldiers were Roman soldiers, but many had been conscripted into the army. The Jews were the only nation who were exempt from this conscription. Most of them would be ignorant of the ministry of Jesus and sought only to do their duty as soldiers. However, we see some of the worst kinds of sinfulness, although all sin is terrible. But they use their power over a prisoner to abuse him. They mock Jesus without mercy or compassion, thinking that they were superior to this human being, Jesus. Sadly, we have seen and heard of this in our own time, when we've seen soldiers in times of war mocking their prisoners. Power so easily corrupts, and this is a warning to us all. Our power or status can lead us to think that we are superior to others. Is this me or you? The irony is that while they delighted in their power, they didn't realise that Jesus had the ultimate power. So mocking Jesus, they spit upon him. They stripped him, leaving him vulnerable. They struck him time and again. When they'd finished their game, they led him away to crucify him. Did you notice this was a whole company of soldiers who were complicit in this action? How often we can be brave doing the wrong thing when we are in a group or a crowd. What would we have done if we'd been in that company of soldiers? At the place of crucifixion, the soldiers hung Jesus on the cross, hammering the nails through his hands. I shudder when I think of this. Crucifixion is a terrible and cruel death. Jesus' body is bleeding from the scourging, open sores, exhausted, hungry and thirsty. The soldiers had hardened hearts. With hardened hearts, they hung him to die. Today, we sometimes talk of compassion fatigue because of all that we can see and hear on the media. At this time of the pandemic, how are we when we hear of another death? Do we still have compassion for that person and their family? We have a God of love and compassion. So we must pray that our hearts are soft. They are never hardened. Because we have a God who has a heart of love and compassion for his people. As part of their duty, the soldiers did two more things. They offered him a drink and they nailed a board above his head with the charge against him written on it. This is Jesus, King of the Jews. As was the custom, the four soldiers who crucified him were keen to gain from his death. Each soldier, the four of them, would have had one of his five garments, but the best was divided up by casting lots. Imagine for a moment Jesus hanging on the cross while the soldiers are fighting over his clothes. We may feel disgusted, but how often after the death of a loved one, material gain can cause infighting. The soldiers, having mocked with hard hearts and material greed, sat and watched. But they were in for a surprise. This was no ordinary crucifixion, if crucifixion could ever be ordinary. As Jesus hung there, supernatural things happened. Darkness from noon until 3 p.m. came over the land. Verse 50, Jesus cried out again in a loud voice. John's Gospel tells us he said, "It is finished." In Greek and in Aramaic, this was just one word. A word which was a victor's shout, a cry of a man who has completed his task. This was absolutely extraordinary, from a person in absolute agony, hanging on a cross. Jesus was like no other. And then there was an earthquake. God made his holy, all-powerful, all-seeing presence felt. And the eyes of the centurion and the soldiers were opened. As the centurion declared, "Jesus is surely the Son of God." Jesus had said earlier, recording in John 12, verse 32, "I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." The power of the cross moved the centurion to declare, "Jesus is surely the Son of God." Is this your declaration too? Even until this day, you've been sceptical or you've used Jesus' name as a swear word. Today, you too can declare that Jesus is the Son of God who took the weight of my sin, your sin, upon himself. The sinless, perfect Jesus who was made sin for us. So the question we began with, who do you say Jesus is? Can you, will you, publicly declare that Jesus is the Son of God, who died, was buried, and on the third day rose again and ascended into heaven? And can you say, and so I will live my life following him? This is my declaration. I hope it is yours too. Amen.